2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and happy as always to have you on board to the podcast. It's a game day. BYU going to be taking on the Running Utes of Utah at the John M. Huntsman Center. Tip-off at 6 p.m. Network coverage begins at 5 o'clock here on your legacy home of the BYU Cougars, KSL News Radio. The game's going to be televised on the Pac-12 network. So we'll preview that game, give a little more in-depth conversation between BYU and Utah here on the podcast today. You can follow me on Twitter at Mitch_Harper. Subscribe to the show on Apple, Google Play, Spotify. Leave a rating and a review. It helps out the show a ton. And also, too, we'll be talking about BYU football, BYU basketball, of course, and a whole lot more on the show. Wanted to make a note on this program today. Going to be having a special throwback edition here on the show. Earlier in the week, it was an anniversary for me and a dear friend of mine. My friend Bean Mace, a.k.a. Coogies by 90 on Twitter. Once upon a time, Bean and I hosted a podcast called Cougar Center. And earlier this week was the anniversary of said show, when we started our show. This December 2nd, 2010 is when we started the program. Kind of crazy. 9 years. A lot changes in life. At that time, I was a 22-year-old single bachelor living it up in life. Didn't have much direction at the time. Now I'm a 31-year-old man with a career, a wife, and three kids. A lot changes, man. It's crazy. But I caught up with Bean earlier in the week on our anniversary to kind of look back on our podcast that we had, Cougar Center, which was pretty popular. We were early adopters to the podcasting scene. And also, look at BYU sports. Because from 2010 to now, what have been the highs of BYU sports? What have been the greatest moments of BYU athletics in the last 9 or so, 10 years. There's been good moments, but BYU in football and men's basketball hasn't reached the success that fans crave, other than Jimmer Fredette. That's probably the biggest thing, by far, between the two major sports. Football, it's a few wins here and there, but there hasn't been that great moment, that defining program-changing moment. Heck, they haven't even beat Utah in that stretch. Maybe Cougar Center is the curse. I don't know. Anyway, but what we're going to have is a little throwback segment. You'll hear the throwback intro from Cougar Center. So for those of you that listened to me back in the day on the days of Cougar Center, you'll enjoy the segment. For those of you that didn't listen to me back then or are kind of still getting to learn me and who I am, you'll get to know a little bit more about me and Bean Mace and the show we once upon a time had. Back in the day, back in 2010. So that'll be fun catching up with Bean Mace here in the program. But again, BYU in Utah, tip off at 6 o'clock at the Huntsman Center. I got to say, though, from a personal standpoint, this is a tough night for me because BYU in Utah squares off, and I'm excited about the game. I'm really excited. But it's on the same night as my Lakers. My Lakers are in town here in Salt Lake, and I don't get to see the Lakers at the Viv, but that's okay. Probably AD He's not going to probably play, I would imagine. He was hooked up to IVs, for goodness sake. He had flu-like symptoms. The guy's a monster. The unibrow is legit, folks. But I have a sneaky suspicion that the Jazz are going to come away with a win in that one. Lakers on a back-to-back. Two road games, both at elevation, going from the Mile High City to Salt Lake. That's a tough transition. I think the Jazz get it done tonight. BYU, however, I think they get it done. I think the Cougars are going to get it done. As you heard in the preview podcast yesterday with Crimson Corner host Trevor Allen, I feel pretty good about BYU's chances, in large part because, of course, Yoeli Childs. Yoli's a stud, and this was Yoeli on his return back to the court for the first time this season.
It's exciting. That would have been a really tough one to sit out of, so I'm just really grateful for the opportunity. I'm really excited to go out and play with this group of guys and just finally be back out there on the court.
It worked great for BYU to have Yoeli come back for this game. Remember, Mark Pope and his staff had to add the Montana Tech game this past Saturday to ensure that Yoeli would be able to play against the Utes. His 9-game suspension would have covered the Utah game had they not added Montana Tech. And man, would that have been a bummer to have Yoeli make his triumphant return against UNLV? Yeah, there's a rivalry with UNLV, but no one currently cares about that. There's no heat to it right now. Yoeli doesn't know about that. Yoeli knows about the Utah rivalry. Utah scorned or overlooked Yoeli Childs. How crazy is that? Yoeli Childs was not offered by the University of Utah. Utah would have got Yoeli Childs had they offered him, but they didn't. And it benefited BYU because I think when Yoeli was coming out of Bingham High School, he wanted to play at Utah. He wanted to play at a P5 school. And BYU, he wasn't a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at that time. Now he is. But at that time, he wasn't. And I think because of the unknowns from the religion angle, single parent home, the mom was very close with him. They didn't know much about the church. It would have been a tough sell to get him to BYU. But the recruiting process, BYU did a fantastic job. Dave Rose, Tim Lacombe, they were marvelous in recruiting Yoeli Childs. And Utah just overlooked him. They thought, oh, we're Pac-12 now. We don't need to go in-state, apparently. But now, Yoeli, one of the best players in college basketball. You can't tell me he's not one of the top 25 players in the sport. At a minimum, he's top 50. And he was on the top 50 John Wooden Award watch list coming into the season. But Yoeli, of course, has sat out the last 9 games due to a terrible suspension at the hands of the NCAA. And this was Yoeli on the lessons he learned while sitting out during that suspension.
There's been a lot of up and downs. I've been trying to stay positive throughout it all. It's a lot easier when we win. The games that we've dropped are pretty tough to be sitting out of, but it's been really good to support my guys and to see some of these guys flourish, to see Colby excel, to see these guys learn how to win with me off the floor. I think it's, in the long term, going to help our team a lot, so I tried to focus on that.
So there you go. That was Yoeli Childs, BYU star forward, getting ready for his debut tonight against the Utes. Cougars come in 6-3. You got to be happy with that. A 6-3 record without Yoeli Childs, that's great. And I think this BYU team, the way they're shooting the rock, I think it's only going to get better with Yoeli Childs. I mean, naturally you would think, right? I mean, you get your best player, and then you add him to a group that's already got TJ Haas, who's got all-conference ability, Jake Toulson, who could be a potential player of the year in the conference, and then you got Zach Selyus, who's playing his best basketball in terms of maybe the all-around aspect, the hustle, the getting on the glass. Dalton Nixon, fantastic in that regard as well. And those guys are going to get a ton of open looks. Jake Toulson now is going to get a ton of open looks. He's been drawing double teams like crazy. Think back to that Kansas game last week against Maui. Jake Toulson was the center of Kansas's attention. Imagine Yoeli Childs in that game last week. Toulson would have been getting open looks all night. Yoeli is going to draw so much attention from the Utah players and defense that it's going to free things up. And if BYU just plain and simple, and I know it's the name of the game, knock down your shots, but if they just knock down their shots at a high clip, around that 45, 46, 47 mark at least, BYU's going to win this game. BYU's the better team. You look at the percentages on KenPom, the win probability, BYU is the clear-cut favorite. Utah comes into the game, losers of 2 games. They lost to Coastal Carolina and Tulane in the Myrtle Beach Classic. And the Utes are still kind of the thing about Utah basketball that's interesting to me is that they used to be the top dog in the state in the mid-90s.
for a stretch there. BYU's always been good, but there was a stretch there with Majerus where Utah was at an elite level. And I think that, and Utah had like a brand, they had an identity in college basketball. Now, Utah basketball suddenly just does not have an identity. Even in those years where they had Jakob Poeltl, DeLon Wright recently, where they went to the Sweet 16, Utah just, for whatever reason, it's something is amiss in Larry Krzyzkowiak's program, in my opinion, my humble opinion. I'm not going to claim and sit here and think that I'm following it every single day at Utah. I'm not. But it just feels like from what they once were 20 years ago, that was a basketball school, and now suddenly it's a football school. And I get college football is top dog regardless. It's such a huge sport now. But Utah basketball is not even a blip on the radar, I think, for Utah fans anymore. It's crazy. And I think in large part because they just lacked an identity for so long. Even in that year where they went to the Sweet 16 to play Duke, they've just lacked an identity. They got pretty good players, though. Timmy Allen's a good player. Booth Gotch, he could be potentially a lottery pick. He's got that ability. So there's going to be some tough matchups for BYU in this game. Rylan Jones, I'm high on him. That kid out of Olympus, he's a stud. I always thought when Dave Rose needed to replace one of his assistants, I believe it was Dave Rice, or I can't remember exactly. I'm trying to think which one it was. Anyway, it was the time when Rose ended up hiring Quincy Lewis. I think it was 2014, 2015. Anyway, I thought at the time BYU should have hired Chris Jones. Chris Jones, who was up at Utah State, and knowing that his son, who was like an eighth grader at the time, he was going to be a really good recruit, hire him to just simply get his son. But hey, things change. And the Jones family, they're lifelong Ute fans. So there'll be some tough matchups for BYU, but I look at BYU's top three alone with Yoli, with Haas, with Toulson. That alone is better than anyone Utah's got. Plain and simple. BYU's got the best three players on the court tonight. And they got to dominate early, set the tone, and build a lead. I think this thing will be close. I think Utah will always be in striking distance, but I think BYU will be in control. And I think BYU comes away with a win. And I like the hustle from Dalton Nixon and Zach Selyus. Barcelo, though, has got to come up bigger. Barcelo's been kind of a hit and miss. He was big in that Virginia Tech game. He had some big corner threes, but he's got to be a little more consistent. And I think Barcelo has got to have a nice night as well for BYU to get this win. But I'm going to say BYU wins it, as I gave on the prediction yesterday here on the podcast. I'm going to say about, 75, 68, somewhere in there, I think BYU wins. I like what BYU's doing defensively. I think the Cougars are just a confident team right now. And that's something that you got to like as a BYU basketball fan, is that BYU, it feels like this year is different than the years recently. BYU basketball just has a different feel. Beyond just the head coach, it's just they're playing different. They're playing a lot more confident. They're getting after it on the defensive end. It's actually fun to watch BYU basketball right now, and that's refreshing to see, and I'm excited to see what they do tonight against the Utah Utes. The rival Utes, BYU has a two-game winning streak in this rivalry. But I got to ask, though, before we get into the Cougar Center throwback segment here on Cougar Tracks, would you sacrifice wins in basketball for just one football win? Think about it. What if someone said to you, some crazy psychic dude came up to you and said, hey, I can make a promise to you or guarantee a wish if you wanted it, but it's going to come with a catch. I'll guarantee you BYU is going to beat Utah in football in 2020. Utah on the heels of a college football playoff. But you're going to lose the next 5 to 10 years in basketball against the Utes. Do you take it? Ask yourself, would you take that as a BYU fan? What means more? The easy answer would be you want both. You want them all. You want to knock out Utah and everything, women's basketball, all of it. But what would you want more? I think football. I think you want football over the men's basketball wins. Because sadly, college basketball is more of a niche sport now. It just is. It feels like college basketball has become more niche. My viewing habits with football, it's college football, then the NFL. And the NFL is a distant second. For basketball, it's more NBA, well, college basketball out west, I enjoy watching the WCC, the Mountain West, the Pac-12. I like college basketball out west. But if it's not that, NBA far and away. But again, I'm in a career with covering a college team. So there's a purpose behind me watching college basketball. If I didn't have a career in covering a college program, I'm watching the NBA all day over college basketball. The product of college basketball just isn't great right now. But I like BYU, though. I like the way they're playing. They're a fun product to watch. Knocking down the three, up-tempo, the pace, the style, good talent. I like the way BYU's playing. That's the type of college basketball I like to see. And I like what Pope has brought. But still, football's king. And I think most BYU fans would want a win in football over Utah rather than wins in basketball. They would sacrifice the wins in basketball to get just one win now over the Utes in football. Because it feels like it's so hard now to suddenly beat Utah in football. Oh, yeah, you got a 24-0 lead, whatever it was, 26-0. I can't remember now. 20-0. Lost it. Lost it in the fourth quarter. Just any way imaginable, BYU has lost games to Utah in football. And especially next year, if you get Utah, if they go to the college football playoff and you knock them off on the heels of a national semifinal appearance, that'd be pretty sweet. But, hey, easy answer once again, win them all. And hopefully BYU basketball can play well. I'm excited to see what they do tonight in the first BYU-Utah rivalry game between Pope and Larry Kraskowiak, two of the tallest coaches you're going to find on college basketball benches this season, and two former NBA players duking it out as head coaches. Kind of cool in that aspect as well. Going to take a timeout, though. On the other side, the Cougar Center throwback segment here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what it is, Cougar Center, Cougar Center, Cougar Center, Cougar Center. You know what it is, Cougar Center, Cougar Center, Cougar Center, Cougar Center.
Hey, Cougar fans, it's time for another episode of the Cougar Center Podcast. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit CougarCenter.net. Now, here's your hosts, Mitch Harper and Bean Mace.
Wow, throwback, baby. Wow, it's a throwback edition. Cougar Tracks, Cougar Center. My goodness, that takes me back in time. And to celebrate the old days. Now, if you're probably listening to this thinking, what in the world did I just listen to? What was that? Hey, back in the day, back in 2010, started a podcast called Cougar Center with my guy Bean Mace. And earlier this week was the anniversary of said podcast, 9 years ago. 9 years ago. And that voice you heard in the intro, yes, was the voice of the Cougars, the Canuck of the Cougars, Greg Rubel. And to discuss kind of the history of Cougar Center, the anniversary, my old colleague, my old co-host, Bean Mace, who currently resides in Portland. Bean, did that take you back, man? Did the memories flow through with that intro?
Mitch, that was absolutely beautiful. You know what it is, Cougar Center. Beautiful times, Mitch. Happy anniversary. Can't believe it.
Happy anniversary, years. Bean. It's been crazy. You sent out that tweet to me, and first off, I got to say, and follow Bean on Twitter, at Bean Mace. when you sent out that tweet, Bean, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit embarrassed of what the vernacular I was using back then. Hey!
I thought that. I thought you would be.
Peeps? I used the word peeps. I used the word peeps. I'll retweet it on my timeline. But
it was a different time.
So I said, hey, this was how simple it was. When Bean and I started this podcast, Cougar Center, we started it from nothing. Bean and I have always been friends. We met, Bean and I met on MySpace. And how I met Bean was, Bean ran a BYU football MySpace group. Yes, a MySpace group. We're talking about MySpace. This was back in time, folks, before we were talking about TV deals, before we were talking about P5, G5. This was the MySpace days when it was like, hey, I'm going to that search, I'm typing in my zip code, and I'm searching females within my zip code within a 20-mile radius, and we're locked and loaded.
Baby.
What it do, baby? That's how it was back then. And now, it's more, it was more like the Wild West. And guys like Bean and I, we've always had a passion for BYU, but that tweet, that I went to Facebook and said, hey, folks, me and Bean Mace laid down a BYU Cougars podcast. Check it out, peeps. And I was like, I looked at that tweet when you sent that to me, Bean. I'm like, oh my gosh, I used the word peeps back in the day.
Oh, it was great. It was great. I mean, we start a podcast out of nothing, out of thin air. We get a mic from Best Buy, and 3 weeks later, we're credentialed media at the prestigious New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah,
I could never take that bowl serious because they approved us.
Well, what was
it
so,
was a heck of a time.
What was so great, Bean, was I remember you and I wasn't the conversation we started game planning the Cougar Center podcast at Taco Bell in Sandy, wasn't it? Where we were like, because we had kind of a routine there early on with Cougar Center where we would do once a week, we would do a Cougar Center podcast every single week. For those of you that don't remember or didn't know about this podcast, and for the OGs out there that remember, hey, loyal, strong, and true, go fast, go hard. Those were some great memories. We'll get into some of that a little bit later here. But we had a pre-podcast routine where we would go to Taco Bell every single week. And I remember
where all important meetings happen.
And I remember one time we just said, we got to do a podcast, and if we can get two or three people to like this thing, we're gonna be pretty happy with ourselves. And it's kind of crazy to see how that podcast evolved over the years.
Yeah, no expectations into becoming a top 10 podcast on iTunes. It's pretty crazy what we were able to achieve. I would like to say a lot of hard work, but basically it was just us showing up to hang out with each other and recording conversations. So I can't say that too much hard work went into it, you know?
Yeah, I went into the archives and listened to some of the old podcasts, and it's kind of funny. I'll have to play some of the clips from the episode one. The first episode that we laid down was December 2nd, 2010, and when I was listening to it, first off, I sound so monotone in that episode. I'm like, oh my gosh, like working in radio now, and and that was the goal. Like, I've always wanted to work in radio, and it was kind of like, I'm going to look at this as one, hanging out with my friend, and two, like, this is our radio show. This is where we're going to give BYU fans what they really want to hear. But I'm listening to it, and it's like, hey, Cougar fans, Mitch Harper and Bean Mace, it's Cougar Center, and I'm here with my co-host, Bean Mace, and he's got a heart of gold. It was just like, man, I just couldn't believe how far things have come over time. And the thing is, what's interesting too, Bean, is that in that time, maybe we could say the Cougar Center podcast has been the curse for BYU against Utah, because since that first podcast, BYU has yet to beat the Utes.
Unfortunately, that is true, Mitch. But we got a basketball game tonight. Cougies by 90. You know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Always Cougies by 90.
BYU going to be taking on Utah Utes coming up. 6 o'clock tip on KSL News Radio. Network coverage at 5 o'clock. You can hear it here on your legacy home of the Cougars. And it's going to be a great game. I'm really excited to see it, Bean. I mean, how do you feel about BYU sports these days? I know you're living up in Portland. You're not here in the state right now. But I know you keep abreast of all things BYU, Cougies by 90. What do you expect from this basketball game, first off, and we'll get into football a little bit later?
I'm stoked. I honestly have not been this excited for a BYU basketball game all season. Yoli's back, and so I'm back. You get Yoli, you get me. I'm stoked to see him go off on these clowns tonight. I can't stand Utah basketball. I don't care how good they are at football. They're always going to be a basketball school, so beating them in basketball gives me great joy. You know, being here in the West Coast Conference still, you know, I'm still in the conference. I get to see the Mighty Pilots up here pretty often. So, you know, I check out the Cougies every once in a while. I'm able to see them. A lot of weird Olympic sports that you didn't think I'd be into or attending. I got to check them out now. So, big fan of all BYU sports, but basketball's promising. I like where Pope's going with these guys, and they can shoot the hell out of the ball.
Pope is really, he's a dynamic guy. I mean, do you feel like he was the right fit for BYU at this time?
Absolutely. You know how much I love my Kentucky Wildcats as well, Mitch. BBN, baby. Pope was on that team that actually made me care about basketball for the first time in my life. So I got a special attachment to Mark Pope. Big fan of his. Hope he does well for our Cougies.
Yeah, Pope is a dynamic figure. I think he's going to be great for BYU. I mean, it was refreshing, I'll be honest, to see BYU actually perform well for once in a tournament, because we always see BYU over the years. It doesn't matter if it's the conference tournament, the NCAA, the NIT, the, you know, battle for the belt at the MGM resorts against Valpo. It doesn't matter what tournament BYU's in. They seem to usually crap the bed. It was kind of refreshing to see them go to Maui and actually play well. I know they had the loss to Kansas, but still, that's Kansas. That's Rock Chalk Jayhawk. That's Azabuki. That's Bill Self basketball. That's Kansas Jayhawk. That's Fog Allen Fieldhouse basketball.
Rock Chalk, baby.
So, I mean, to see BYU actually dominate two Power 5 teams in UCLA and Virginia Tech, that was refreshing.
That was great to see. I felt like we were watching Jimmer for a second out there. TJ Hall is the absolute man. I love watching him play basketball. If he doesn't jack up 40 shots every night, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. BYU football, though, Bean, I know you love the Cougies. Cougies by 90. Follow Bean on Twitter, at Bean Mace. Again, talk with Bean Mace. Cougar Center co-host of mine back in the day. We did the podcast from 2010 to around 2016. Pretty crazy. We went every single week. We put out hundreds of episodes. It was a great time. We had so much fun. We went to bowl games. We covered games. I mean, we just did all these cool things. We got to meet fans and sell T-shirts. It was an amazing time, and we were just kind of doing it because we had fun with it. And it was like there was no method. There was no rhyme or reason. It was just, we're creating great content and having a lot of fun doing it. But, you know, BYU football was always our bread and butter, of course, on the show. And I know, Bean, you're a lifelong Cougar fan. You were in the drawer, I believe, the dresser drawer, watching a Holiday Bowl with your dad as a little kid. So you love BYU football through and through. How do you feel about Cougar football right now? 7-5 to end the regular season. Kalani's extended, though. What's your vibe? What's your take on BYU football right now?
Love Kalani. He's the man. He's the man for the job. Got to get a little bit more support from the administration, unfortunately. And not just the administration, but the church overall. We're not going to get into that, though. We can talk for hours and hours about that. I wish you would have asked me before San Diego State week, because I was feeling high. I was riding high on the Cougies.
Yeah.
The great, strong finish of the season, as expected, with the horrible schedule, but to just lay an egg in the games that they did against Toledo, South Florida, and San Diego State, just an absolute embarrassment to lose to those teams. I don't care how BYU or how bad BYU ever is. You shouldn't be losing to teams like that. It's absolutely unacceptable. And the thing is, the staff and the players and everyone knows that is unacceptable. And they're on the path to fixing it and correcting those mistakes. And I think as the depth improves talent-wise at BYU, so will the record. I think they're on the right track. Hopefully I get to see some of these great victories continue on the road like we saw at Tennessee.
Yeah,
the last time I saw you.
I know, it's been far too long, Bean. We gotta cross paths. I know you'll be in town in December, so if you want an autograph from Bean, he'll be in Salt Lake.
I'm trying to make it to that Aggies and Cougies at the Delta Center.
Hey, I know my coworker, Madison Hinkhouse, she loves you. She's listening to this podcast right now.
I was going to say, we got to talk Hinkhouse before this show ends.
We'll get to that momentarily, but I know she's listening to this episode because she loves you. When she found out about you.
I love her.
Talking with Bean Mace here on Cougar Tracks. It's a Cougar Center reboot. It's kind of, we're having a great time going down memory lane. And I know, Bean, you love memes. Anyone that follows you, they know you are on the cutting edge of memes, with videos, with the viral stuff. I swear, you know the memes well in advance before anyone even makes it a meme. Like, you just know. So, what I'm getting at is, what was maybe your favorite meme-worthy moment of BYU football in 2019?
Oof, man, that is...
It's a loaded question. Oof, there's a lot to unpack there.
Heck of a question. I mean, from the heights of Tennessee and USC... all the way down to those losses we mentioned. Dang, that is a very good question. I got to go with Holmo, though. After the last home game, opening the jacket with the extension shirt. That's beautiful. Yeah. You know I love Tom. Tom's my boy.
Yes, he is your boy.
He's a good man. And that gave me great joy to see Kalani extended like that in the locker room with all the players. Great moment for BYU football.
Why, though, do you think that they did it after the Idaho State game? Like, really? I mean, did you have to beat Idaho State to say,
yeah,
he's our coach, he's my coach, we're extending him? Like, why not just do it after Utah State? Because you knew you were going to beat Liberty and Idaho State and UMass regardless. You knew you were going to be 7-4.
Yeah, that's true. I really hope it was just, the timing was right and everything had lined up and they wanted to do it, and kind of have the special moment with Senior Day. As well as Kalani being extended.
Can you imagine, though, if they would have held off till after the season? Like, right now, the extension talks, that would have been... I mean, I think he would have got extended because I think you don't let go a guy that has a winning record at BYU, but fans would have been a little bit more up in arms about an extension talk after that disappointment against San Diego State.
Yeah, especially depending on how this bowl game shakes out. It might be a rough one, depending on, the health of players, who's actually going to play, and, how the 94 practices go before the bowl game actually takes place.
Well, Bean, I'm curious, too. What's been some of your favorite memories, too, of one Cougar Center and BYU football since 2010 to now? Because it's been a tough stretch, Bean, I swear. Cougar Center might have been the bad luck. We might have, put the curse. I mean, we started off in an era where BYU basketball was riding high, going to Sweet 16s. TJ Fredette's dapping us up. Like, we're living it up. We're living life on the basketball side of things. But football-wise, in the era of Cougar Center, hasn't been kind to the Cougs. But still, there's been some great moments. Favorite moments from Cougar Center and favorite moments of BYU football in the last 9 or so years?
Oh, man. As far as football goes, I'd have to say just some of the great road trips taken, not only with you, but my family and checking out these different locations across the nation, going to Ole Miss with you and J-Mace, one of the greatest trips of all time. We could talk all day about it. We need to do an episode on just that trip.
I look like a child in those pictures, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I look like a child.
You're 17 in those photos.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. there's been a lot of great wins. I love the back-to-back Hail Marys from Tanner Magnum, the legend. Shout out to his mom. I love her. going back to the Cougar Center crush days, we'll give her one of those.
Yep.
Cougar Center, just seeing... probably the very first game we covered, the New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah.
Jay Mace, my little brother, he's with us, and he's wearing a full suit for some reason with his credential, and the game's about to kick. You and I can't find him anywhere. We look out on the middle of the field at the 50 during the coin toss. There's the captains, the referees, a cameraman, and Jay Mace standing at midfield for the coin toss of the New Mexico Bowl. Don't know how he pulled that one off. He was also, the last image of that game is him and Brian Logan holding the trophy over their heads together. Like, I don't understand how that happened. It's just,
I don't either.
Incredible moments. I mean, all the way to the very end of Cougar Center where we're seeing the greatest ESPN announcer, Adam Amin, wearing his independent shirt, his go fast, go hard, loving the Cougies, and he's interviewing Frank Beamer about his last home game at Virginia Tech while wearing our podcast shirt on ESPN. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that was a very surreal moment. Adam Amin wearing that T-shirt to interview Frank Beamer for his last home game. Like, wow. Like, we've we've kind of arrived. Like, that was kind of that moment where you go, well, this stuff has an impact in some shape or form. It definitely did. And, man, I got to say, those memories just came flooding back, Bean. And it's been
I mean, how about Mayor Buddy Dyer?
The UCF tailgate. Like, that was the thing, is that, you know, we'd go to Ole Miss, we made friends with them, like Mrs. Magnolia, Captain McInnes, Paul Catul. Paul Catul is one of my favorite follows on Instagram still to this day.
I love those guys.
Those guys are great. I mean, I was trying
to Miss Magnolia. Happy birthday the
yeah,
other day.
I was trying to get involved in the Tennessee elections to go vote for her husband. Like, I was like, how can I get a ballot? I'm going to go vote for her husband. Let's make this happen. But the podcast really did you know, enhance relationships. It was amazing how, when you look back on it, we go, that was so fun. And also, too, what we're not selling enough here is that I like to think, Bean, you started the tailgating movement at BYU. I remember on one of the podcasts leading up to, it was the Utah home game. It was the Tuesday. We would usually record on a Tuesday night. And I remember we're talking, we're breaking down the game, and out of nowhere, you're like, it was just like impromptu, like spur of the moment. You're like, you know what, Mitch? We're gonna tailgate. We're gonna have a rockin'. I don't know what you said exactly, but it was just off the cuff. We're gonna go to the Marriott Center parking lot. We're gonna tailgate. Bring your RVs. Bring your tents. We're gonna have a great time, like they did down at Ole Miss. We're gonna have a great tailgate. And next thing we know, we show up. There's no one in the Marriott Center parking lot. It's only our tent. And then we see a big old truck, a King Ranch truck with a massive motorhome, show up. And this guy named Jeremy shows up. He goes, "Hey, are you Cougar Center?" And we're like, "Yeah, we are." Like, and then he's like, "Well, I wanted to tailgate with you guys. I like your podcast." I'm like, "Whoa, this is actually like a thing." And then a couple weeks later, we're hanging out with the Orlando mayor and all his like secretaries and assistants are having a great time. I mean, it's just kind of wild. And now BYU's got full-fledged tailgating lots. They got the tailgating guys. And it all started with your movement, Bean.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to help build the culture there at BYU, make it a little less normal. I know people like quarterbacks' moms don't like me, but that's fine. I will take the brunt and the anger for everyone's distress with BYU football. But, you know, we didn't necessarily start tailgating, but we sure as hell made it important and impactful at BYU. And, you know, I do not miss sitting in those meetings with campus security and Duff and all the boys down there talking about tailgating and arguing over spaces. And I don't miss that at all. But I miss everybody out there tailgating. It was a good time.
When are you going to move back to Utah, Bean? Is it ever going to happen? You never going to move back?
Utah's home. I'll be back eventually. I come back often. But who knows? Who knows where the wind's going to take me, I'll say.
Well, Bean, it's been a pleasure talking, man. And I know when you come back in December, we're going to hang out and catch up, and it's going to be like this interview, catching up on old times and making some new memories as well. Can't wait to have you back in town next month. And it's actually this month. Oh, my gosh, it's December.
It's here.
A couple weeks. So we'll see you in town, and looking forward to it, man. Great catching up.
Sounds good, man. Shout out to Hink House, the legend.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Madison, she loves you, by the way. And I think that she's standing for Bean Mace. She stands for Cougars by 90.
We need a couple of them out there. And I'll keep bringing the fire memes to Twitter at Bean Mace.
Hey, Bean, I'll talk to you soon, man. And good luck with everything. And we'll have to do this again.
Cougars by 90, Mitch. Let's go.
Big thanks to Bean Mace. Man, that was fun. Going down memory lane with Bean Mace. A lot of memories of that dude, man. Me and Bean go way back, 2005. Like I said, MySpace group. MySpace. Yeah, my top eight. I think back, what was my top eight on MySpace? My top eight usually consisted of some woman that I couldn't attain that was like an untouchable celebrity figure. Like, she was like my number five, just to like feel like it was cool. And then like the chick maybe I was talking to and in school, she'd instantly go to like my number one. And then we'd go on a date and she stays at number one. And then after a couple dates of being maybe irritated, then she drops out. That's usually how my top eight worked. Bean would be in my top eight a lot. I think it was a lot of like movie characters. Like Ron Burgundy was in my top eight. I was a nerd. I'll just be completely honest. I was a nerd. But MySpace was a good time. and Bean Mace, and I had great times on the Cougar Center podcast. I love Bean. He's a great guy. Great dude. People spin. Sometimes, again, people look at social media and think that's how someone is. No. Social media isn't real life. Bean Mace, how he acts on social media isn't always him. People, I think, sometimes think, oh, he's this wild, crazed man. No, 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 no. Bean is as cool as the other side of the pillow, laid-back cat, fun to be around. Love Bean. Great guy. Great catching up with him. Talks some BYU sports as well, and he loves his Cougs. Cougs by 90. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. Subscribe to the show, Apple, Google Play, Spotify. Leave that 5-star rating and a review. Helps out the show a ton. Follow me on Twitter, @Mitch_Harper. Follow KSL Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and download the KSL Sports app. We'll be back tomorrow recapping the BYU-Utah basketball game and looking more in-depth into possible Hawaii Bowl opponents and talking some BYU football as well here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.